With SDPB News, I'm Jackson Dirks. Clean energy and other green jobs are up across the Midwest. While South Dakota has been part of that growth, it's grown at a slower rate than regional counterparts. SDPB CJ Keene has more.
In the clean energy field, South Dakota tallies over 12,500 jobs, a record high for the state, and a 1.6% growth over 2024. That growth rate reflects the broader Midwest, but the state is lagging other states for overall jobs in the field. The only state with fewer clean energy jobs in the region is the natural gas-rich North Dakota. The top regional states are Illinois, Michigan, and Ohio. South Dakota's next closest peer is Nebraska, which has nearly 10,000 more clean energy jobs. Michaela Preschool is the state manager for E2, a nonpartisan organization advocating for green policy and job creation. She spoke to reporters at the Clean Jobs Midwest 2025 web conference.
This report we're releasing today shows that clean energy is a bright spot in the Midwest economy, and the future of Midwest's clean energy economy depends on state leaders acting with urgency.
Preschool adds, as the federal government takes a back seat, it's up to states to support renewable and clean jobs.
The good news is we have states here in the Midwest that are already exemplifying clean energy leadership. So states like Michigan, Illinois, Minnesota. Beyond that, we're looking to states to pass policies that will power data centers with clean energy. We're looking for states to work collaboratively to prioritize new transmission to be built and to do what they can to fast track renewable energy deployment before solar and wind tax credits expire.
The report found South Dakota's clean energy jobs are growing at nearly two times the rate of the overall economy. The findings of the 2025 report can be found online at sdpb.org/news. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
A collaboration between Dakota State University and LifeScape is looking to innovate clothing to protect workers. They're looking to a common material, plastic. LifeScape workers deal with biting, scratching, or pinching from maladaptive behaviors daily. To protect direct care staff from such behaviors, the LifeScape Foundation raised $50,000 and asked DSU to create lightweight, discreet protective clothing. That's coming in the form of protective plastic plates thought up by LifeScape occupational therapist Arlen Clam. The idea was passed on to DSU professor Justin Blessinger, who worked with students to refine the design by contouring it to the human body. That form offers better protection and maintains comfortability and clothing ventilation. Jessica Wells is the president of LifeScape Foundation. At a press conference, she calls the partnership a win-win for both groups.
But what we are super excited about is being able to invest in students and the opportunities that they have and the staff and faculty to be able to take their ideas and translate it into, for us, caring for our staff better, which translates into better quality of life, better quality of care for the people that we support. LifeScape's vision, like Stephanie mentioned, is to be an innovative organization and to provide that exceptional service and that creative solutions to the different varied needs and the complex care that people need across their lifespan.
She adds, collaborations like this one are about working towards the same goal, improving lives. Josiah Copeland is a freshman computer science major who's helped work on the project the last 8 weeks. He says it's not a finished product yet. They still need to troubleshoot the 3D printing, wearability, size, and the material.
This plastic is pretty tough, but what we've been trying to do is find that plastic that's sturdy enough, but then also just flexy enough where it might not cause as much injury, but then at the same time, it's also a comfortable enough padding where it's not going to physically harm the wearer by just like pinching points or whatever the cause may be.
10 prototype garments are going to be assessed by LifeScape employees this fall, and then further modifications and designs are planned for next year. Rapid City officials are questioning how to use a multi-million dollar settlement related to generic opioids. One alderman says now is the time to build a plan. SDPB's CJ Keene has more.
Rapid City is expecting to benefit from a $720 million settlement agreement against several secondary manufacturers making generic opioids, along with settlements from major pharmaceutical corporations. Ward 1 Alderman Stephen Tamang says now's the time to start planning.
The Attorney General's office has identified that there were many groups that contributed to that. There were manufacturers, there were distributors, and subsequently there were a series of prosecutions that took place, and ultimately a fairly substantial size settlement fund. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 million that is currently controlled by an opioid advisory committee.
Funding will be directed all over the state, including dollars directed at the largest cities.
Mayor Solomon responded to this by forming a committee, of which I am on, to try to find a way for those funds to come to our area to support.
With that in mind, Tamang says now is the time to press forward in discussions on the uses of these dollars.
At this time, I think it's appropriate to move those funds under the control of a committee that would be overseen by the Common Council and the mayor. So my motion is to allocate current and future opioid settlement funds to the opioid settlement committee that has already been established.
Currently, there's roughly $500,000 in the fund for Rapid City. The proposal was approved, and fund requests from the committee will require the approval of the council. Committee members include Tamang, Solomon, Pennington County Sheriff Brian Mueller, Fire and EMS Chief Jason Culberson, and Rapid City Police Chief Don Hedrick. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
Another state employee has been indicted on felony charges, this time for falsification of investigative reports. The Attorney General's office announced Nova Collins of Spearfish is accused of falsifying the reports relating to a child abuse investigation. Collins faces charges of felony forgery, offering forged evidence, and using that for filing, registering, or recording. Additional misdemeanor counts are also involved. The alleged crimes are said to have taken place earlier this year. In a statement, Attorney General Marty Jackley says, quote, falsifying documents relating to investigation undermines public trust. This is the latest in a line of recent legal proceedings related to state employees and alleged crimes relating to public trust. Residents in the Pine Ridge area no longer need to boil drinking water before usage. In a statement, the Oglala Sioux Tribe Council rescinded the notice first issued last week. This came after a drop in pressure led to concerns about possible contaminations in local drinking water. The water system leadership says they have taken the corrective action to restore that drinking water's quality and have received laboratory tests to confirm the water is contaminant-free. This week's Your Morning In Play breaks down high school boys' golf and state tennis championships for the fall season. SDPB's Nate Weck and Jason Andera also highlight a Rapid City coach's impact on tennis in western South Dakota.
Welcome to another Your Morning In Play here on SDPB. I'm Nate Weck, joined as always by Jason Andera. It is state championship season. Just like that, snap of the finger, we are basically hitting state, some sort of a state tournament or state activity every single week here as we progress through to Thanksgiving.
It always makes me think of the seniors involved in this and the families that have watched their kids grow up, and boom, just like that, you snap your fingers and we're at the very end of the season. How does that happen? Yeah, it's crazy.
Absolutely. Well, we had a few state championships here take place here this past week. We had the fall golf championships, which included double A and A boys. And then we also had the girls state tennis tournaments. So for boys golf, double A was a little bit interesting because we had Harrisburg that got the team title. And then it was Tayton Mountie who won the individual title from O'Gorman minus two for a 2-day score. Absolutely incredible.
He's a great athlete, and I've watched him play basketball for years, and I just started following golf and realized, you know, basketball is the second best sport. Yeah, Tayton Mooney is unbelievable, and to go under par as a high school athlete, unbelievable. That's a great day for him.
And then you had the Class A boys golf tournament taking place in Vermilion at the Bluffs. And if you thought minus three was impressive, well, Hayden Heeg of St. Thomas More, minus six.
Yeah. I don't know if I've better gotten six birdies in my life, let alone in the same round. So, yeah, congrats. These guys are awesome, though. And the golfing keeps getting better.
Like, absolutely.
The coaching's better. The year-round commitment to the sport, and then you see it right there with those scores. Unbelievable.
And then you had Dakota Valley winning the team title for A-Boys as well. Vermilion sort of had Dakota Valley's number throughout the season, but when the lights were brightest, in Vermilion even,
yeah,
it was Dakota Valley. And if you look at their five golfers that they bring, they obviously take the top four scores and then contribute those to the team standings, but they had five golfers in the top 16.
Yes, there's some depth there for sure. And that's something that, you know, Dakota Valley is really starting to be known for. Obviously, they've got a great home course themselves at Dakota Dunes to be able to play at. And, golf is very popular in that part of the world.
And then you had the girls' tennis championships that took place at Tomar Park in Sioux Falls. Monday, Tuesday last week was Class A, which saw Sioux Falls Christian getting the win. And then at the end of the week on Friday last week, it was Rapid City Stevens getting the state championship in AA girls. So both, you know, we've seen Sioux Falls Christian really start picking it up in a lot of different sports over the years. And they've gotten, since that two-class split that we had with tennis, once they went to two classes, Sioux Falls Christian has really started dialing it in, specifically with boys, but the girls' tennis program there as well is really coming along.
Yeah, there's just so many student-athletes at Sioux Falls Christian that are specializing in a sport. Like, I don't know how they can continue to win in so many different sports and so many different classes too, but they're doing a wonderful job there.
And then with Rapid City Stevens, one of the interesting things of note there, Jason Olson is the head coach. He's been there 29 years, 8 state championships now for him, and he's finished runner-up 12 times. And that included the one-class system into the two-class system. I mean, it's just absolutely tremendous what Jason Olson has done. He was a big proponent, too, because he's been the director of Parks and Rec in Rapid City for many years. So look at some of the renovations that have happened with those tennis courts at Sioux Park out there in Rapid City. He was one of the main driving forces there, too, being there every day, talking with contractors, construction people throughout those renovations and things like that, too. To have a person like that goes a long way if you have somebody like that.
Yeah, he doesn't sleep either, obviously.
No, he does.
Between the coaching and the individual coaching that he does, what did he do?
About 300 lessons, something like that, from late, like last spring through the fall.
Does he know how many days are in a year?
I know.
Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, very impressive stuff. And then we're also going to have the state soccer championships taking place as well this coming Saturday from Sioux Park in Rapid City. SDPB will have full coverage of that. Be sure to go to sdpb.org/soccer to check all of that out. I'm Nate Weck. This is Jason Andera. This has been another Your Morning in Play here on SDPB.
I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks, and that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thanks for listening.